Now this is my kind of party. Grab a friend, bring the guns. It's time for the Co-Opticast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Co-Opticast. This is number 78 for Sunday, December 12th, 2011. It's actually Monday, December 12th, 2011. But I will point my finger squarely at my cohort, Nick Paleo, who wrote the show notes.
I did it.
And, yeah. It's 12-12-11, which is kind of a fun date, if you ask me.
Indeed.
Next year, this day will be even better.
Yes, it will.
Yes. But, let's get the silliness out of the way and talk about what games we've been playing, because there's a bit of a list here.
Yeah. Yes, sir. There's quite a few games out there to play. So I guess I'll start. I recently ventured back into Skyrim after taking almost 2 weeks off because of a patch that broke a lot of things.
Yeah.
But after watching some videos and getting the soundtrack, I just couldn't resist it anymore. So I jumped back in, and I played a bunch this weekend. I didn't do so much combat type stuff as I just did like tinkering around, and like I was like working on my smithing skill, getting that up, doing a couple like fetch quests, stuff like that that didn't really require too much.
Yeah,
you know, because basically what happens, the bug ruins extra effect abilities like and resistances. So if you know you're 50% resistant to cold, like the Nords are, it just you're actually not 50% resistant.
You gotta be, you know, non-hardy to cold like the rest of us.
Yeah.
Taking you down, peg man.
So anyway, it's, you know, I've had some, the game is just so much fun, and there's just so many wacky things you can do. Like, I've been doing the Dark Brotherhood Assassin's Quests.
And the no way, spoilers.
The way I handle those usually is I just undress myself to become really quiet. And sometimes I forget to put my clothes back on. And so if you start a conversation with NPCs, like, they'll let you know you're naked. They're like, boy, you're feeling pretty bold to not be wearing any clothes, or...
That's funny. I haven't tried that yet.
The women will actually, some of them will hit on you. And, yeah, it's pretty funny, so... There's so many good things in it. And some of the storylines, like the little quest per town, like, you know, each town has the Jarl's quests that you can do.
Yeah.
And each one is just really, really in depth. There's the one for the vampires that was a lot of fun. I just did that one. And basically, it minor spoiler, but it's still really entertaining. You know, eventually, you got to fight the big vampire boss, and the town grabs their pitchforks and stuff, and he marches down to the cave where he is, and everybody runs away. Nobody comes in with you. They're like, "Nah, we're not going in." You're like, "What the heck?"
Excellent.
So the game does a good job of making fun of itself.
I've heard my favorite character from Oblivion makes a return appearance in this game, and that makes me really happy. And I won't spoil who that is.
Oh, interesting. You'll have to tell me that then.
Yes.
So, speaking of silly games, I started Saints Row the Third.
Oh my.
And yeah, it's pretty over the top. It's definitely a Saints Row game. There's lots of cool little side mission things to do with a bunch of different levels within those missions. Like, the one mission, you literally get a tank and you drive around town and try and blow up as much stuff as you can, causing...
Excellent.
Yeah, it's like, okay, that would be fun to do. Let's make that into a mini game. There's another one where you're in, like, a game show and you have to shoot furries. Again, it's just like...
Why not?
Yeah, why not? So... Yeah, there's a lot of really ridiculous stuff. The dialogue is way over the top, and it's, you know, the opposing gang, the female members have, you know, garters and, like, lingerie on with, like, all of their jacket. It's like...
Of course.
Okay. So, but yeah.
I've heard there's a scene in that game where some of the characters just sing an entire Sublime song.
Yeah, it's actually right at the beginning. When you,
that's amazing.
Yeah, you kind of drive around. And the guy tunes the radio on. He's like, "Oh, I remember this song," and they just start singing, and it goes on for a while because you got to get to this destination. It's pretty far away, and neither of the characters can sing.
Of course not.
So, but it's pretty entertaining. What else? I jumped back into some Battlefield 3 with the latest patch. Been playing some multiplayer in that. That's good as always. And I just started playing, a bit of co-op with that as well with Jason, because he's doing our review, which should be out soon.
Should I pick that up? Because I really like the first one.
Yes. Especially for you, just from the art perspective, it is so friggin' gorgeous. Like, their art direction is just phenomenal.
Well, I look forward to it.
So, yeah, I picked up the, actually the collector's edition just so I could get the soundtrack for that, too. Because I'm a big fan of the music from that game. And then finally, I've been doing a lot of XNA programming. I've been up past midnight multiple nights doing that. So, getting ready. Next year, I'll probably start talking in detail about the game a bit and unveiling what that's all about. It's definitely getting close to the point where we're ready to do that. So, I'm pretty excited there.
That'll be fun. Let's see. Is that it? Is that all you've been playing?
I think so. You know, I messed around here. Oh, you know what I did start playing this weekend? Was Need for Speed The Run.
How is that?
It's actually pretty decent. And the reason it's pretty decent is it's more a return to the classic Need for Speed point-to-point race stuff with like set levels and shortcuts and stuff than it was the free-roaming one. I was really worried because it starts off with like a bunch of freaking QuickTime events. And you're like, what the heck is this?
But this is a racing game.
Yeah, it's only like the intro part, like the first couple of minutes. You're like, you got to escape this one part. And then after that, it was pure racing. So as long as it sticks with that, I'm pretty happy. And it's cool because like you literally race across the country. And so every maybe four or five races takes you to a different locale. And I'd say I've seen six or seven different ones, and I'm only at Las Vegas, from San Francisco to Las Vegas. So they did, like, San Fran. He did kind of like the middle of California. You did what's the state park in California?
Yosemite?
Yosemite, yeah. So there was sections in Yosemite. Then you had some desert sections, and then Las Vegas. So there's... You know, I'm pretty curious to see where they go when you get to like the Midwest and then Chicago. And
I think they missed an opportunity though. They should have just made a Cannonball Run game. I understand this is very close to what that was.
Yeah,
but put Burt Reynolds in your game. You know, I think he probably needs the money by now.
Yeah,
it would be very fun.
Oh, I think isn't he in Saints Row the Third? I think he's a character in that actually.
Here we go. Need for Speed The Run. Mix it up with Saints Row.
Okay.
There we go. That is my recipe for a game. Not a great game, but probably a game. See, I've been playing an awful lot because it's been like 3 weeks since we've done one of these.
Yeah.
I too have played some Skyrim, and I've kind of put myself on a Skyrim break because I was playing a lot of it, and then I said, you know what, I'm going to be taking time off for Christmas. Maybe I will just have like a Skyrim weekend in there.
Nice.
I'm going to try and swing it. I don't know if my daughter and wife will agree that that's a good idea.
Lock them in the closet.
You know, go, you know, send the kid off to the grandparents for a while and, you know, get some quality time, do a little Fus Ro Dah. And, yeah, so I've been playing that. I played through, Serious Sam 3 for review. And, that game is chaotic fun. We played through in co-op with infinite respawns, and I actually did the night before the review was due, I played the entire game over again in co-op from start to finish, which is usually a pretty good indicator that it's a solid co-op game. I had a lot of fun with that, and there are so many enemies on screen, and in the last few levels, it's pretty unreal. Remember when the Xbox 360 came out, and they had Cameo, and they're like, look how many orcs we can put on the screen.
Yeah, I remember that.
Isn't that amazing? And it's like, Serious Sam throws that many enemies in, like, a square foot. It's just, it's pretty crazy. I had a lot of fun with it. The ending is gloriously stupid, and yeah, you should definitely check it out. If nothing else, and don't take this the wrong way, it would make for like an excellent Steam sale.
Yeah.
It's like, at $30, it's a little too throwback, or $40 or whatever it costs. Mm-hmm. It might be a little too much of a throwback for some people, but if it drops to like $20 on a Steam sale, that's like straight to the top of co-op recommendation.
There's a lot of content though in it too, like in turn, not just like the missions, but there's a bunch of different modes and stuff to play, and like they had a lot of fun little stuff. Like, I don't know if you saw the different blood modes you can put
on. Oh yeah, you put like hippie mode on, and yeah, you know, the rainbows and butterflies and flowers and stuff.
Yeah,
it is fun. I picked up Halo Anniversary and checked that out. It is as good as it ever was. However, I am currently checkpointed at like the worst possible spot to be checkpointed at.
We still got to play co-op in that. We were going to do that last week, I think, and we never did.
Yeah, I don't think I was home, or maybe I was and I just forgot. But yeah, it's a, you know how you play a game and you get checkpointed in a bad spot and you have no way to like revert your save, and yeah. I'm at the end of a level, and if I want to do anything about this bad checkpoint, I have to start the entire level over. So I have to, you know, balance the time requirement for playing through the entire level again to get back to that point and hope that I checkpoint with more health, or just bash my head against a wall until I actually beat that part. But yeah, it's fun, and I picked up Dungeon Defenders on the Steam sale and all the DLC with that, and it's a fun little game, and it definitely is a co-op game because I almost can't stand playing it single player.
Yeah.
It just, like with all tower defense games, they will throw like a super boss at you as like your last wave, and your defenses mow down everybody up until that point, and then you get like a super boss thrown at you and it just walks through all your stuff and you can't build anything fast enough to stop it. So playing online was definitely way more fun. I want to level my character up a bit before the co-op night that we're having with that, so I can use my Team Fortress 2 characters that it unlocks for you if you buy the PC version. And I picked up a 3DS, and I've been playing. I got the sweet Zelda edition that came with Ocarina of Time, and so I've been playing that and Super Mario 3D Land, which is excellent. And you know, with Ocarina of Time, they fixed the water temple. You know, it still sucks, but you know, at least you can make heads or tails of what's going on because of a few cosmetic changes they made. And checked a few games out on the virtual console for that, and it's fun. I like a lot of what they did with the system, and hopefully they will actually use it. I think Mario Kart is going to be my litmus test for the online mode, but I haven't grabbed it yet because I love me some Mario Kart. And I actually played the DS one online a whole bunch.
Yeah, I actually did too.
So. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. But let's move on into news, and let's talk a bit. I think you and I probably see eye to eye that the new Xbox dashboard kind of sucks.
Yeah, you know, it's not that. I think it does some decent things, but it lost focus for sure. It's very focused on ads, and less on the content you have, and less on the games you own and want to play. But there's some really nice things I like for instance under the games tab, how it breaks it into categories now, and you can quickly get to your games by like recently downloaded, or your indie games or arcade games installed. Like, that's kind of nice.
Well, they have they returned the quick launcher to the main screen, which was nice, because that used to be
right
like on the when the system was on using the blades, that was pretty prominent.
Right.
And then when they did the NXE, you had to like navigate over from the submenu.
Yeah.
And my big beef with it, and you know, in addition to the ads, is I feel that even though the Metro UI that they put together is completely awesome on like a Windows Phone 7, or with any pointing device, it doesn't work with a controller. I don't like. I've used Windows Phone 7 devices and thought it was really slick, and I liked how the data was organized, and I liked how responsive it was. And to have to page around a little, like, the little selector box to all the tabs now just feels weird, because I want, because I know where that design language came from, I want to touch it.
Yeah.
And I don't have a Kinect. So it feels like they're trying to make it better for Kinect at the expense of the controller.
Yeah,
and that is just my personal preference.
Yeah, that's definitely true. What I don't get is why they limited so, like, there's so much empty space, right?
Yeah,
like there's each thing has maybe 6 actionable items on it when you could easily have almost double that and still have a lot of empty space on the sides and stuff. And, like, the actionable items, like, if you look at the home screen, there's 2 things to do on your console, and the other ones are ads or pointing to content on the marketplace or whatever else.
Yeah.
And it's just like, come on. I get they want to sell stuff and they want to drive people towards other content and stuff, but it's just too far. They've really, and if you look at, like, the feedback forums and stuff, thousands and thousands of complaints about it, and there was even articles that came out this week about how you can block
the ads,
some of the ads and stuff. So it'll be interesting to see if they actually change things a little bit, because it does seem like they have a lot of flexibility as to what can go in those spots.
Mm-hmm.
Even just from the preview program until now, things have just been adjusted on the fly without an update.
I think, like, it took a little while to get used to NXE, although that was pretty much universally recognized as a way better way to, you know, move around the content.
Yeah.
I think they'll have to find their legs a bit over the next couple months, but, like, right now it's actually at the point where I don't like turning my Xbox on to do anything with it, because I just get frustrated. Like, it's not a problem of finding things. It's well organized. It's just,
I used the guide. I come in, and if it's not in my drive, I pop up the guide and go into the quick launch thing in there, and usually jump to my game in there. So
they also screwed up the Netflix app. So
that's what I heard. You know. I don't use it anymore, but I've heard a lot of complaints about that. They removed, like, the party chat in it.
They removed the party chat. Now, like, if you pick, like, a TV season, it autoplays. Huh. Like, rather than picking an episode, it just autoplays wherever you left off or whatever the next episode is, and you actually have to back out of it in order to, like, check out episodes. It's really frustrating. The PS3 version of the Netflix app behaved the same way for a while, and then it stopped, or I figured out how to disable that, and it's just, I think it probably could have used a few more months in the cooker, but they have to, you know, put out the fall update, or people,
yeah,
you know, start saying, what am I paying you for?
Well, I know they actually launched a bunch of new things today. If you're in the preview program, they put YouTube on there. There's something called iHeartRadio, which I guess is to stream local radio stations.
Interesting.
There's a bunch of them. There was about half a dozen that they released to the preview people. I haven't fired mine up to check them out, but again, it was something that didn't even require an update.
Right.
So, but along those lines, too, we didn't even mention was that there's a new, they've launched iOS apps for all their stuff, which is pretty big.
What was surprising to me is how well that, like, the Xbox Live app, anyway, it translates so well to an iPhone.
Yeah.
Like, it really speaks to the strength of that particular UI style, that it works really well.
Well, somebody, I saw an article that basically said how it's Microsoft's way of demoing the Windows 7 UI on an iPhone to people.
Well, and they also have that browser-based version that you can do, which was a really slick idea.
Yeah.
And it's not in our notes here, but I believe 343 actually launched Halo Waypoint as an iOS app over the weekend.
Yeah.
So I'm probably going to check that out, because even though I don't play Halo other than like the annual release of a Halo game, I like Waypoint, and it's interesting what they do with it, so I'll definitely check that out. Let's see here. Dark Souls got patched. Moving on away from UI complaints. Now, I haven't actually played Dark Souls since the patch. That is left to Locke and Andrew, because I think that's the only game they ever play anymore.
Oh my god, Andrew. Andrew's going to be over 200 hours in that game, easy.
And I've probably put like 15 into it. Yeah. And I said... And to me, that's enough. I really like Dark Souls. I like Demon Souls, but it's not a game that I can put 90 hours in. It's more of a game I play because I appreciate it and I want to experience it, but I don't really feel the need to complete. Yeah. I don't know any other way to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
But they fixed the patch, or they put a patch out, and one of the things that it does is fixes the co-op matchmaking, and you can actually play with your friends.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising that they did this, because they were so adamant about it not going to be able to do that even later on, but...
yeah.
You know, and Locke put together a great video on this.
Yeah, the video is pretty incredible.
So I know those guys were happy, and they recorded some stuff for it, and... I think it was Locke, Sunny, and Andrew all started characters over again, and basically playing through the whole game in co-op. So, very cool.
Yeah. I have the PS3 version, so I can't play with those guys. So that I think that's a little bit of why I'm not. Not playing it, but I have so much other stuff on my plate that it doesn't really matter at this point. And let's see, speaking of patches, there is a patch for F1 2011. And, that was a game that we gave a 1 out of 5 in co-op for. And, I guess the patch fixed everything about the co-op, but who's going to check that out?
Sam did update the score. I think he adjusted it to like a 3.
Looks like a 3-5.
3-5, okay, there we go.
Yeah.
Basically before the patch, there were things like you would finish first and you would still be placed 8th. And just some like really like broken stuff in co-op that just, it was bad. So it's good to see that they fixed all that stuff, and it's now playable.
That's pretty terrible.
You know, it's kind of funny, both those stories, Dark Souls and F1, we had given them low scores because pre-patch co-op was basically broken, but mm-hmm. because of the patches, we went back and updated it and made sure to, you know, make note of that.
It's good. Let's see, Darkness 2. They added a 4-player online co-op mode. It's going to be called Vendettas, and it has a storyline involving 4 different characters that crisscrosses or otherwise intersects with the story of the single player campaign. And this surprised everybody. I mean, the Darkness and Darkness 2 are pretty much like Darkness 1 had a multiplayer mode, but I believe in order to play it at all, I actually had to organize like a multiplayer session over a forum because no one played it. But this sounds interesting, because when I first heard there was going to be a co-op mode in this game, the first thing I envisioned was like, oh, well, they could do a really cool thing where, you know, one player controls Jackie and then someone else is controlling the two heads
mm-hmm.
on the on your character, because I think that would be really fun. But, you know, they said, why do that when we can just have 4 players that have their own abilities? And it sounds like they all have fairly unique weapons and darklings that spawn.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty impressed. It definitely came out of nowhere for that. And you know, I think we both played that at PAX East last year, right?
Yes, we did. It was it was fun. I liked it a lot. I was a huge fan of the original Darkness, yeah. And I was kind of really skeptical going in because it switched developers, and I'm a kind of a Starbreeze fanboy, and I really ended up digging the art style, and I liked what I played of it. I thought, being able to grab stuff and use it as a mobile cover was a really cool idea. And it sounds like there's a second co-op mode called Hit List, which sounds a little bit more like... It sounds a little bit kind of like Spec Ops.
Yeah.
At least in the summary description that we've gotten. It's that, it's kind of little scenarios that you go in and clear out. So, hopefully that stuff will be good, because the single-player stuff was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, we'll get to why we're bemoaning co-op on portables later, but Unit 13 is a co-op game coming to the Vita from Zipper Interactive, the guys who made SOCOM, or SOCOM 4. And it appears to be a type of game... A squad shooter type of game, like SOCOM, except on a handheld. So I guess we will have to wait and see on that one.
Yeah, there's quite a few co-op games coming out for the Vita, like at or near near launch or at launch.
What do we have in our list?
Unit 13, that's a launch title.
There's Dungeon Hunter, We liked on the console.
Yeah, Ruin, I think, is a launch title as well. And then there's that Army Corpse of Hell, which looks pretty fun. We just started seeing more on that. I think those are the four, and then Little Big Planet.
Right.
So that's five titles, I think, are launch titles. I don't know. Samurai and Dragons is September.
I'm kind of surprised that the Uncharted game doesn't have co-op, considering the last two have.
Yeah, they haven't mentioned anything about multiplayer or anything in that.
They haven't mentioned a lot about that game, which is kind of weird because it's 2 months away.
Yeah.
Let's go on to some quick stories. The latest piece of Magicka DLC is available. It's called The Stars Are Left. And I imagine you're going to be able to kill your buddies with spells. In that, I unfortunately haven't played much Magicka since before the Vietnam expansion was released. I think I got lightning bolted a few too many times by both Nick and Jason.
We might have to do that for one of our community co-op nights. That would be good to get a bunch of people into playing that.
Yes, crank it up, play it on the hardest difficulty, and try and actually beat a level rather than lightning bolting each other to death.
Well, one thing I think actually I might have missed when I put the show notes together is that the game got a huge patch when this came out, and added some stuff to help ease like difficulty stuff. Like, remember before you couldn't save in the middle of the level and stuff? Like, you could, like, if you would quit at a checkpoint, you'd have to start the whole level over again. Well, they actually fixed that. In single player, they actually added an AI buddy you can have to help you out if you wanted. So there's some good stuff there that they added based on community feedback.
That's cool. Let's see. Resistance 3 adds a piece of DLC called Brutality, the Brutality Pack, which adds a new survival mode. And it looks like it's just wave-based survival. And they... included music by one of my favorite bands, Mastodon, but I don't understand why. I love Mastodon, don't get me wrong, but this game takes place in what, like the 70s, 60s or 70s or something?
It's like the 50s.
50s now?
Yeah.
I don't know. I will accept it. I will accept another wave-based survival mode being added to a first-person shooter, because God knows we need more of that. And hey, the music will be good. Let's see. Never Dead, a game that, kind of got announced and it fell off everyone's radar, got a release date, and the most yellow box art I've ever seen. I think Peace Walker had really yellow box art as well, but... yeah, Never Dead is going to be coming out at the end of January. That game looks interesting, if only because you can, like, throw limbs at people. It'll be like, what's that game? Dynamite Heady.
Mm-hmm.
Back on the Genesis. could be cool. Or it could suck. You never know. Let's see. Dungeon Defenders got some sweet DLC, adding basically alternate gender versions of all of the characters with, you know, slightly different names. I haven't played with them yet, so I don't know if they have new skill sets or not.
They said there's a couple, like the skill balancing is different. Like I don't think they have different skills necessarily, but
they're
like,
just slightly tweaked.
Yeah.
But in celebration of having 8 player models now, they have added the Uber Monster Fest mode, which is a harder version of the game that has 8 characters or 8 player co-op. And just in time for our co-op night. That is that the week after Christmas or right before?
It's this coming weekend.
It's this coming weekend. Oh yeah. Crap. I got the game and I will play it, and I think I need to level my character a bit more because I think I'm like level 10 or 11, and you know all this co-op stuff is like for level 60 characters.
Yeah.
Which is kind of irritating, especially since I got the game late, but hey, 8 players. And it's only recommended for characters that high. I could probably get into a game and just get like power leveled or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see. And here's one. I know that Army of Two has been, you know, loved by several staff members at Co-Optimus. It's never been something I've gotten into. But hey, there's a rumor going around that EA Montreal is working on an Army of Four.
Twice as good?
Twice as good. twice as many fist bumps. They should do. Here's what they need to do in order for me to get this game. They need to be able to do a Mexican standoff of fist bumps. I think that would make for the most amazing multiplayer gesture ever. What do you think? You think that could work?
It needs to happen for sure.
do we have some PR contacts there? Do we need to forward this idea on?
I'm making calls as we speak.
Excellent. Yeah, firing off those emails. And last but not least, the VGAs were over the weekend, and the less said about them, the better. Because the internet has already taken them to task and been rebutted and rebutted over and over again. But Naughty Dog revealed a new game there. And it's called The Last of Us. And it looks... It looks like, and for good reason, Enslaved mashed up with Dead Island.
Yeah.
At least in terms of like tone from the trailer. It's like a fungal post-apocalypse, and you're the two player characters, or the character that you're assumed are the two player characters, are an older gentleman and what appears to be about a 13-year-old girl, and they are scrounging for ammunition, which, you know, leads me to believe this might be a bit of a survival horror game. But I got a really big Enslaved vibe from it, and the lead designer was the lead designer on Enslaved, so you know that's a good thing. But it seems like they're going to have a lot of the trademark banter that you'd get out of an Uncharted game, and the visual splendor. They made a point to say that the game, the trailer was rendered entirely on a PS3. But it looks. It looks like it could be co-op, and if it's going to be co-op, I call dibs on the girl with the switchblade, because I think it'd be hilarious to run around as like a little 13-year-old girl with a big knife and kill zombies.
Yeah,
but that's just me. And speaking of VGAs, I didn't add it as well, but there was a Epic released a trailer for their new franchise.
Yeah,
it's called Fortnite, which. Kind of takes it looks like it's going to take like the Minecraft nighttime stuff and mash it up with a Team Fortressy looking shooter. It looks fun. The trailer didn't really tell you much about what that game's going to be, but it looked fun to me.
Yeah, there's a Forbes article I have linked to that had some details and basically said it's taking elements of tower defense games and and stuff like that. It sounds like it might be like a multi-platform game in terms of like iPod, iPad, Xbox Live Arcade, PSN, like kind of a lot of things. So it's interesting, and it's definitely the most diverse in terms of style I've seen from Epic in a long time. I mean, it's, you know, all the stuff that they put out, you can usually say, oh, that came from Epic, or that came from Chair, or, you know, like, you can tell their games, but this just had a really unique style to it in that.
It looked kind of Monday Night Combat-ish.
Yeah.
A little bit of Team Fortress, a little Monday Night Combat, and some of the monsters, like one of the monsters you see, and it looks a little bit like a locust. So you can see their design pedigree in it, but it definitely looks like something I would have not expected to come out of Epic as a like a big name game.
Yeah,
because they're saying this is like their next. Cliffy was saying that this is like their next franchise.
Yeah,
and I think it'll be cool. I really like what Epic's been doing lately. Like I forgot to put it on my list, but I started playing Bulletstorm.
Yeah.
And that game is awesome. Like, them grabbing People Can Fly was an amazing grab. And Infinity Blade 2 is really great. And, you know, Chair has always put out really nice stuff. And I think they're doing a really good job at, you know, keeping things interesting, especially when they could probably just crank out Gears sequels for the next couple years and make a ton of money. It's like they're branching out and doing things that are, you know, a little riskier.
I think what actually happened there with Epic is I think a lot of the higher ups, the Mark Raines, the Cliff Bleszinskis and stuff, like, they got bored.
And
they started like tinkering around with other things, and it had a trickle down effect.
Yeah.
But
you know, if it keeps them creative and it keeps gamers entertained, I think everybody wins.
Yeah.
So that looks pretty cool. And let's move on and highlight our user blog of the fortnightly period at which we, you know, release these things. And we're turning to Sunflowers, a blog about struggling through a game you hate and why you might do it. And basically, he talks about playing Skyrim and putting 20 hours into it and not really liking it, but saying that he's going to beat the game. And, you know, why would you do that? Especially in a game like that, where if you're 20 hours in, you probably have at least 20 more hours to go. Like, why would you do that to yourself? And, there's a bit of a discussion on that. I generally drop a game. Like, the only time I push through a game I hate is when I'm reviewing one.
Yeah.
If I'm not reviewing it, that game goes to either Amazon or GameStop so I can get some credit towards buying a game I hopefully would like better.
Yeah, I used to maybe push through games before, but I very rarely do anymore, unless, like you said, it's for a review.
Yeah, I'll tell you when I actually beat a lot of games that I didn't like was when I was a kid and I didn't have my own budget to buy games. You know, I remember one year I asked my parents to track me down a copy of Contra, because that's actually one of those games where, even though I had an NES, like, when it came out, we didn't buy it. I just played it at friends' houses all the time.
Uh-huh.
So my parents were like, would rather buy me something I hadn't played yet. And so I, one year for Christmas, I asked for Contra, and they came home with a copy of Contra Force. I don't know if you remember that, but it was the third Contra game on the NES that was not very good, had the different characters.
Okay.
You fought a helicopter.
Uh-oh.
And you know what 50 Cent says about helicopters? I can't repeat it here, because this is a family podcast. But yeah, so, like, I beat games like that. Like, I suffered through and eventually... Like, I eventually beat Battletoads.
Yeah.
At first, I'll be honest, at first I did it with the Game Genie, and then eventually I did it without a long time later.
Game Genie.
Yes. The Game Genie was a really great way to extend the lifetime of games. Like, yeah, you could cheat with it, but you could also do really crazy stuff with them.
Yeah.
Like, I love turning on the moon gravity in Mario. But yeah, so, like, I think if I didn't have as much money to spend on games, I'd probably beat more of the games I buy or get burnt out on games and never play them again. But, you know, other than reviews, do you push through a game for anything? Do you like, for instance, play a game again for an achievement, even if you don't want to?
I can't remember the last time that I really did that.
You did that Halo Reach Legendary run.
Yeah, that was kind of, but it wasn't that I
know you were not having fun with that. I know.
Yeah, that was frustrating, but that was in the end it was satisfying, I guess.
Yeah,
but it wasn't like it was like a bad game. You try to think if there's some recently that. No, I mean, I really...
Nothing's springing to mind, really.
Well,
anyway, that was Sunflower's blog, and it's actually currently on our recent user blogs list in the sidebar. So there's a discussion going on about it right now if you want to join in. You're always welcome to, because we like people talking. We like to know there's people out there that have opinions about games.
Yeah.
Because we have opinions about games. And let's move on and talk about Game of the Year stuff.
Yes.
Because it's that time of year. And we're going to have, obviously, we're going to have the full-blown site feature soon about this. But I thought we'd give the listeners of the Co-Opticast a little bit of a preview of what our Games of the Year are. And this is the staff vote. You know, traditionally we have a community vote alongside it, but we don't have that stuff for you right now. But we do have the results of what the staff voted for, and I think there is a pretty good spread this year. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. There was that. You know, a lot of them kept popping up, but there was a lot of a good variety.
Yes, I agree. Let's just get the elephant in the room, at least for our voting, out of the way, and say we are actually not going to award any portable games this year. There just weren't enough releases that we could really gauge. Like, there, you know, Patapon 3 came out, but, you know, only one of the staff members played it. And, you know, Merc's 3DS came out, and I don't think anyone really liked that.
Yeah, it was, okay.
Yeah, and you know, everything else was, like, there's an annual LEGO Star Wars game, and then really nothing, you know, at least as far as what we know of in our database. So we're gonna pass on it this year, but, you know, as we said earlier, the Vita has a lot of co-op stuff, you know, coming pretty much right out of the gate, so
I'm hoping we start seeing the iOS stuff kind of push co-op. I mean, there's so many games and stuff for that, but there's very few.
Well, there's Dungeon Defenders on it, but I found it to be almost unplayable.
Yeah.
Because I can't play that game with no joysticks or mouse. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
So yeah, best portable co-op title, probably whatever you thought was best, because we're not going to award anything. No golden fitty for co-op. If you remember that award season. But let's start with PC, because there's a lot of good stuff in here, and I'm just gonna rattle off what we chose, starting from number three. Let's make this a slight countdown. So I don't know about you, I enjoyed every game on this list immensely, but for number three we chose Magicka. I probably would have put this... I personally didn't vote for it, because I got lightning bolted to death every time I played this game. And despite enjoying it, I spent most of my time saying, "Hey, resurrect me. Hey, resurrect me." And then, you know, lightning bolt to the face. "Hey, resurrect me." It was quite fun for Nick and Jason. Let me tell you, the number of deep belly laughs that came through our Steam chat were... It was very high, but at the expense of my death. So I gave a spite non-vote to Magicka, but Magicka is our number three. Number two, a game that I don't think anybody in this universe can hate, Portal 2. The co-op mode, to me, was just an incredible extension of the single-player game. And the single-player game is one of the best games of the year, you know, clearly. Yeah, but I played... It's, you know, again, like Serious Sam, I actually played through Portal 2's co-op mode, you know, a second time in one sitting, you know, with a friend, and it was great. I love it. And number one, with a bullet is, or bullet hell, I should say, is Jamestown. You know, it wasn't going to be up there, and then I played, for me anyway, and then I played four-player co-op, and it opened my eyes. It was just so much fun. I kept returning to it. It was a co-op game that I could get my wife to play with me. It was a co-op game I could get people that didn't really play games since, you know, ye oldie days to just come up and try. And, you know, that says a lot. Because, you know, you get something like Dead Island or Gears and you're like, well, I could put it on casual mode, but then you have to overcome never, you know, playing a first-person game and all that. And it's... I felt it as a great entry step as a co-op game. And it's just, it's beautiful, it's fun, it's got great music. It's pretty much everything we want out of a PC game, and it's an indie game to boot. I mean, you know, the indie games are where it's at on the PC these days. You know, there's so much quality stuff coming out. So, yeah, Jamestown, best co-op game, so congrats to all of our winners. We also had some votes for things like Sanctum and Serious Sam and Dawn of War Retribution in that list as well.
Yeah, I heard the one game on that list I'm disappointed I didn't get to play was Darkspore. I've heard some good things about that.
I played the beta of it a bit, and you know, I thought it was interesting, but I just don't like making stuff in Spore, and I don't know. I just... That aspect of it really threw me off, and with the, you know, hour or two I played of it, which is a shame because I hear it's quite good, and Locke loves it.
Yeah.
Let's see, best console co-op title, number three, thanks largely to a contingent of the staff that does nothing but play it, is Dark Souls. I don't think this game would be on the list if it didn't get patched. I'm almost... If we had voted before that patch came out, I'm pretty sure this list would be a little different.
Yeah.
But Dark Souls, you know, excellent game. You know, really fun. You know, the co-op in those is really great if you can get it to work, and now since you can. Number two, a game that I honestly thought was going to win it in this category... is Dead Island, and it actually had a vote tie with our number one game, which was Gears 3. And you know, much like any other rating system, we took a look at where people rated it on their list, and Gears 3 had more people rate it higher, even though it had the same number of votes.
Yeah.
So Gears 3, Dead Island, you know, kind of co-op games of the year for console, but we're giving the nod to Gears. And it really, you know, as far as co-op offerings in that series, it really is the best one. You know, they consistently improve it. The game is really fun. You know, they do a lot to actually humanize the characters, as cartoony and dumb as they are. And, you know, I dug it. I love the co-op. I think, you know, Halo's really good, but I think I'd hold up Gears as my, like, console co-op series of this generation as far as championing the cause. Maybe Borderlands is a second place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll say for the console one, I'm kind of disappointed that more folks didn't get to play Fear 3, because I think it might have been on more people's lists. That was my surprise of the not surprise of the year, because I remember when Jason and I had seen it at E3, and I think we actually gave it like the Game of Show Award that year whatever. But they had so much stuff. What they did with the co-op was really interesting. Two different characters, in a first-person shooter. There was, you know, survival modes on top of the co-op campaign. It was just a really solid all-around experience in co-op, so...
Yeah, and rounding out the category, we had some votes for Lord of the Rings, War in the North, the console version of Portal 2. A couple votes for Skylanders from the man children in the crowd. And someone really enjoyed Uncharted 3 co-op more than I did.
Yeah.
Even though I enjoyed it. Don't get me wrong. And now we come to downloadable. And downloadable, this category is basically PSN, WiiWare, DSiWare. We're not really counting PC stuff in this, which is why certain things might... Yeah. You'd say, well, easily Magicka and Jamestown belong in this list, but we find it a little nicer to give the... It's a console downloadable. Let's just clarify it, I guess. And number one by a pretty wide margin, I think the biggest clear winner out of any of the categories,
is
Dungeon Defenders. Basically everybody on staff has played it and liked it. And it is really fun in co-op. And so, yeah. I know I said I'd count down to these, but, you know...
But you blew it already.
I'm running the show today, and I say we're just going to say Dungeon Defenders. Second place, the runner-up would be Trenched / Iron Brigade, depending on when you bought it. And I really dug that. Even though it had some lag problems whenever I played it online.
Yeah.
I suspect my crappy network at my old apartment was to blame. And this one surprised me because I didn't really want to play this game at all, but apparently everybody else loved Toy Soldiers enough to bring it to our number three spot. That'd be Toy Soldiers Cold War. So yeah, Nick, you really liked that one.
Yeah, I don't remember if I gave it an editor's choice or not, but I know I gave it a really high score when I... Looking it up now, when I reviewed it.
Yeah.
Now, I gave it a 4.5 out of 5, so...
Not too shabby.
Yeah, it's solid stuff.
Go ahead. So yeah, rounding this out, we had some votes for Warhammer 40K Kill Team, Duels of the Planeswalkers 2012, Renegade Ops, Dungeon Hunter Alliance, and someone really liked Crimson Alliance. So yeah.
And Voltron. Andrew had a vote for Voltron.
Is that the pity vote for Voltron?
Yeah, well...
Is that the 80s child vote for Voltron?
It basically is. I had Andrew edit Mark's review, and, you know, we gave it a 3 out of 5, which is probably pretty close to what I probably would have scored it. But Andrew was like, he's like, it's killing me. He's like, if I would review this would have been a 10 out of 5. I'm a huge Voltron fan. And Mark is probably the biggest Voltron fan on staff. But he's also probably, you know, the most critical. You know, he's got X amount of Voltron toys in his office and all this other stuff, but...
The color they used on the Green Lion is the slightly wrong shade of green, I'm sorry to say. Yeah. So... You know, again, like, everything in this category is super fun, and we loved it all. And, let's talk about Game of the Year. Co-op Game of the Year. What was your game of the year, Nick?
I'm trying to think what I voted for. I think I might have picked Portal 2.
I thought you picked Magicka.
Maybe I picked Magicka. I think Magicka, just the whole spell mixing element of that was something that we haven't really seen in a co-op game and just made it a ton of fun.
Yeah, the game was, you know, from a top down, it looks kind of like a Diablo type game, but, you know, the gameplay in it, just the spell mixing and the absolute chaos from killing your partners is really fun. Personally, I put Jamestown as my number one. It was, you know, again, it's what we had most fun with. But unfortunately, neither one of us picked our game of the year as a winner anyway. Because there are three titles here that are all excellent, all great, but only one can win. And for number three, the second runner-up, for those of you keeping track, is Dead Island, a game that, honestly, like I said about console, I figured this was going to be the clear winner, because everybody leading up to it, I remember you came back, I think it was E3, and you're like, Dead Island, dude, seriously, this is probably game of the year. So it kind of, I guess it put a seed into my head that, like, well, everyone is really raving about this. Everyone's playing it. I still haven't played it. Everyone's talking about it. And I'm like, this has got to be game of the year. No. Second runner-up. Number two. Portal 2. I think thanks largely, like, the PC version is excellent, but I think what they did with the console versions really helped pitch this a little higher in the list.
Yeah.
You know, getting Steam onto the PlayStation 3 is a huge, huge win for Valve and, you know, gamers in general. Portal 2, runner-up. So, are you surprised at number one?
You know, if you sort of think about it, no. But I thought, in a way, it was kind of old hat. Some people.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, we didn't give a Halo game of the year again, you know, because, you know, we're pretty good at doing that, you know, especially when Borderlands comes out, we're like, no, Halo. you remember that? I think that was it ODST came out the same year as Borderlands, yeah. And we're like, yeah, ODST. Yeah, we caught a lot of crap for that. But our co-op game of the year this year is going to Gears 3. And I can't argue. It is an incredible co-op game. There's a ton of content. There's more content coming tomorrow.
Yeah.
The Ram Shadow DLC. So yeah, Gears of War 3, co-op game of the year. And we're definitely going to be checking out what the community is going to vote as game of the year later on. And we will have an actual article about all this so people can post comments and tell us how wrong we are and how dare we pick another Xbox game as game of the year.
Yeah, I'm gonna have
When are we gonna pick a PlayStation game as game of the year? And I'll be like, look, number two is a PC game. You know, we like things other than Xbox here. Just so happens the best game was on Xbox this year.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to get the polls up on our systems pages and stuff to let people vote and get that, yeah, that ball rolling. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll whip up a deal with it GIF for the awards. I think, yeah, animated GIFs are going to be the award graphics this year, I think.
I think it should be like Gary Coleman.
Gary Coleman?
Yeah.
Well, we've already done 50 Cent. We might as well go the exact opposite direction. So let's wrap this up, because we've been talking for a long time.
Indeed we have.
And talk about some site stuff. Upcoming co-op releases.
No. Actually, that's not true. Trine 2 is coming out.
Trine 2 is already out.
On the PC, but the console versions are out on the 20th or something like that.
The important version is out.
Indeed.
So Trine 2 is out on PC, Trine 2 is coming on consoles soonish. And Nick says it's great, and I really liked Trine 1. I believe I reviewed it. I think I reviewed it.
I think
yes,
you did
I reviewed it. We posted a co-op FAQ for Modern Warfare 3, and we also posted a complete Spec Ops playthrough to accompany that. So please enjoy those. We reviewed Voltron, Defender of the Universe, Serious Sam 3, Best Friends Edition, and Oda Media's Excellent, which is, I assume, how you pronounce that game. So you can get your lolly on and look at girls while shooting stuff and complaining that it's not Gradius. Let's see. Tabletop co-op. These are the features now. There's a tabletop co-op for Flashpoint Fire Rescue. I was looking at that acronym. I'm like, I know what this stands for. We don't talk about this a lot, but yes, we do review co-op board games a lot, and we're going to be doing more in the future. And Mark reviewed Flashpoint Fire Rescue, which I believe was a game that was sourced through Kickstarter, which is pretty interesting. I believe.
Oh, you know what? I remember Mark actually posted something about that.
Yeah.
A while back, trying to get some people over there.
And I think one of the perks for funding it on Kickstarter was actually getting a copy of a game, because I don't think it's actually out yet, at least in a wide release, as wide as board games go, anyway. Again, the Spec Ops playthrough in video form. Tally wrote an MMO co-opportunities article about the Old Republic. Guess what? It's an MMO.
It's out tomorrow.
It's out, for the people who pre-ordered it, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's not out until the 20th or so.
I have a collector's edition on pre-order from Amazon, and I keep going back and forth, because I want to sell it, I think.
My old WoW guild is playing that game, and I'm kind of tempted to play it so I can play with those guys again.
I played some of the beta, and it's pretty fun, but I don't have the time for it.
But it's my super hardcore old WoW guild. But like riding the world first train.
I already saw some eBay WoW auctions guild for it over $250.
Dang!
So I might hang on to it for a little bit and.
You know what you should do? You should acquire it and then write about it in your user blog for last month's CCV topic.
Which one was
about the collector's editions?
Ah, yeah.
Yes. But speaking of CCV, this month's topic is your game of the year. So write a user blog about it and let everyone yell at you for how wrong you are. Get a little taste of what it's like to be an amateur game critic. Yeah. We posted our holiday buyer's guides for those of you who like to purchase expensive things for your friends and family members. And a Co-op Classics article summing up the GameCube, because there was a lot of co-op on the GameCube that was not. You know, there was that, oh, was it that Gauntlet game?
Yeah, I think there was like three games.
I think that's the only one I played. And I'm feeling like this podcast is going a little bit off the rails, so let's just talk about the fact that we have Windows Phone 7 and Android apps, and you should download them. You can buy some shirts from our Split Reason affiliate store, you can leave us feedback on iTunes, and you can follow us on Twitter, we are at Co-Optimus. And should we talk about the fact that we actually have a community manager now?
Sure, we can.
Well, why don't you talk about that then?
We have a community manager now.
you may know him.
You may know him as Smurfster. We know him as Eric. But yeah, Eric's been with us a while, helping out with the forums and stuff. But I've decided to give him some more power, and he's been having fun with Twitter and Facebook and helping organize community nights with Sunflower 4000, aka Rich. So we're really going to be focusing more on community stuff this year. And as you heard us talking about through the podcast, we've already started scheduling co-op nights on different platforms, not just the Xbox like we've been in the past and everything like that. So I'm
really excited about what the next year holds for Co-Optimus, and you know, I feel like the extended community interaction is going to just be the tip of the iceberg. What do you say?
Oh, definitely.
It's going to be a big year.
I think so.
And you can also leave us a voicemail. The number is 646-926-6748. And that's just going to about do it for the Co-Opticast. I'm Mike. That's Nick. And you have a Co-Optastic week.
Leaders.